Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Good morning. And how are you on this fine morning? All good, I hope. Fighting fit, ready to go, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. How are you, Harry? Producer
I'm
Harry.
Good.
Yeah? You all good?
Yeah.
Touch more energy than yesterday morning. Great. Let's get straight into it then, with no further ado. Oh, welcome to you, actually. Before I say no further ado, slightly more ado. Good morning to you. You are watching Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show, the BBC, Bo's Breakfast Club, the Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, and you are the glorious brand, the chosen few. Thank you for tuning in. Really, really appreciate it. Without you, it's not really a thing, is it? All right, let's jump straight in now. So the stories this morning, what is the world talking about? What's going on? What's going down? What is the world talking about today? It's mostly Greenland. Again, and a fair bit about the Beckhams, Brooklyn Beckham, David and Victoria, and their eldest son, Brooklyn. So, just quickly, we want to get a little bit more interaction going on. So, we're going to put a poll up, aren't we, Harry? We're going to do a poll.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask, I'm letting Harry do the wording, but it's about, do you care about the Beckham story? Because I don't want this to be just purely 100% me, what I like and what I care about and nothing else. It's not supposed to be that, really. It's supposed to be a show about what's going on in the world, what the legacy mainstream media is talking all about. So there'll be a poll all about the book Beckhams. Do you care about it? Because if it's up to me, I would pass over it kind of as quickly as possible. But it may be that a fair amount of you, even if a half-decent chunk of you even remotely care about it, and stories like it, This is for a data point for going forward. And stories like it, then I will give it at least, you know, some time. If it comes back that it's like 90%+ of you don't care, and I am perfectly vindicated, then I'll know. But if it comes back even 20% or more of you do care, then... And it's not just in the poll, even though it's asking you about the Beckhams. It's actually sort of I'm trying to ask a broader question. Do you care about stories like that? You know, like individual divorce cases. Some famous people are going to get divorced or they've got a massive rift with their son or, you know, things like that. Because usually to me, I think I said it last week, if you've watched all the Bo shows, I think stories like this are sad, but not particularly newsworthy. All right, so Harry, is the poll up?
It is, yeah.
We are live with that poll. All right. Click on it. Have a vote. All right. So, BBC says, Brooklyn goes nuclear. I must remember to pronounce that word correctly. Nuclear, not nuclear. Can't help it. I'm an Essex boy. My natural inclination is to say nuclear. I know it's nuclear. I have to consciously... All right. I'm in my mid-40s. I should have got it right by now, shouldn't I? Should have mastered that quite common word. Brooklyn goes nuclear and UK teenagers face social media ban. But even though the BBC doesn't say it there, a lot of the papers are going with Greenland stuff. All right. The Daily Mail. Brooklyn goes nuclear. Beckham's son launches astonishing attack on his controlling parents. Claims they put family brand above everything. Brooklyn says mum humiliated him with inappropriate first dance at his wedding. Awkward. Sounds embarrassing, doesn't it? don't know if it's quite enough to sort of divorce yourself from your parents entirely. But there seems to be a lot more to it. Also on the front page of the Mail, says U-turn opens door to ban on social media for under 16s. So another U-turn, where it seems like the government has said, we may not actually do this under 16s social media ban, but now we are. Our backbenchers, 60-odd backbenchers are putting pressure on us, so we're going to do it. So another U-turn. Throw it on the pile. What's that, number 14? All right, The Sun also goes with nuclear. Beckham goes nuclear. The exact same headline. Look, Brooklyn goes nuclear. So, who copied who? The Daily Mail or The Sun? Or are they just in complete cahoots and they're just basically the same thing? There's a cabal of editors. It's one big blob. Okay, there's a picture of the Beckhams. Okay, so a little bit of detail then, whilst we wait for the poll to come in, because it is in the news. It's just a whole he said, she said family drama thing, isn't it? The Victoria and David accuse Brooklyn's wife of being controlling of him, and he and they accuse them of being controlling of him. And there's just various, what I would consider like really, really petty nonsense details about things like that. The first dance at Brooklyn's wedding was Victoria did an embarrassing dance and ruined the wedding. The wedding's ruined. Was it? Or there was a furore around the wedding dress. Victoria said she was going to make, because Victoria fancies herself as a fashionista and designer, doesn't she? She's no more a designer than she's a singer, which is to say not at all. A joke of one. Anyway, apparently she was going to put the wedding dress together and then at the last minute said, oh no, I can't, I'm not going to. And that angered Brooklyn's wife, or fiancé at the time. Stuff like that. That gives you sort of the measure of it all. Or I did see one thing. I did see, because I knew this story would probably keep coming up, I did watch a little YouTube video a few days back. And that one, like, you know, it's real, real slop TMZ, you know, rumour mill stuff. And it was that, one of them was that Brooklyn had an ex-girlfriend, not his current wife, some other girl he was going out with a few years back. And apparently he didn't go out with her for very long. And now one of his younger brothers is now going out with her. That's the same girl, something like that. And that the Beckhams, David and Victoria, welcomed this girl into the family fold with open arms. And that was a terrible humiliation for Brooklyn and his wife. Things like this, you know, classic sort of family stuff, really, if you live in a quite petty family. Yeah, all things like this. Like David had his 50th birthday the other day, a few weeks back, whatever it was, not too long ago. David had the big 5-0. Brooklyn failed to attend. That annoyed David and Victoria. And he failed to attend, allegedly, because his ex-girlfriend, now his little brother's girlfriend, was there. And that would have been a humiliation to his new wife. All right, let's move on. You get the idea. It's family stuff. My mum ruined wedding. Front page. That's the front page. All right, the Daily Star. What was it? Okay, they also go with Brooklyn blasts Posh and Becks. They tried to ruin my relationship. From what I gather, I don't know if it's true, but from what I gather, and I could well be completely way off the mark with this, but it seems like the real tensions are between Brooklyn's wife and Victoria, largely. Just two women with big egos that don't get on and lock horns and both wants to be queen bee of the family. Ugh. 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 All right, the Eye Paper. British and US relationship at lowest ebb since 1956 Suez Crisis. If you was watching yesterday, if he was part of the Glorious Band, The Chosen Few, Bo's Breakfast Club, You remember that yesterday I mentioned the Suez Crisis, didn't I? You remember that? Briefly, in passing. Yeah, that was a low ebb, wasn't it? The Suez Canal, when Britain decided it was trying to defend its interests with military force in the Suez, in Egypt, essentially. Nasser and all that. And it got to sort of such a crunch point that we really needed the backing, at least diplomatically, of the US. And Ike, as it was, Dwight D. Eisenhower, was like, no, you're on your own. All right. Intelligence sharing under threat in biggest shake-up for 70 years. Possibly. Trump's ambition to acquire Greenland for national security reasons is destroying trust on both sides of the Atlantic and tearing apart long-standing agreements, NATO insiders warn. That's interesting, though. It's a sort of a long-term back-and-forth thing about how closely British and US intelligence services share information and intelligence. That's very interesting. I've read a number of things over the years about that. For the last 6 months or year or more, I've been sort of slightly more intensely reading about the Cambridge 5 spy ring. I'm going to make an epochs on that at some point, maybe even a mini series. But I've also just been reading around that for years anyway. And yeah, how closely British and US share intelligence has like ebbed and flowed over the years. I mean, it's pretty close. It's closer than most other countries get, right? But all through the Cold War at various points, like earlier on in the Cold War, because of the Cambridge 5 spy ring, that was British spies being Soviet moles. At that point, in the 50s and 60s a bit, the Americans were like a bit standoffish, like, oh, we can't necessarily trust you're not completely infiltrated. More in the 80s and 90s, it was the other way around. America had revealed they had various traitors, real traitors, proper traitors, in the midst of their intelligence services. And the British were a bit like, can we trust... Like, do we trust the CIA and the FBI as much as we thought we did? You know? So, it ebbs and flows. After 9/11, right, we got closer again. Because that's what Dubia and Tone, that's what they wanted. So, it happened. Mmm. Oh, have a cup of tea. All right. NATO sources say US colleagues have apologised for rising tensions. We used to get beers together, and now it's really strange. This is disruptive in a way that I have never thought of before. Oh no, poor NATO allies don't go for beers much anymore. Starmer and allies are working on plans to step up shared security amid growing Arctic threats. British manufacturers, including brewers and food producers, rushed to send their stock to America to try to minimise the disastrous impact of Trump's new tariff punishment on UK. Well, yeah, if you're an exporter, you would, wouldn't you? If you're an exporter, and particularly if your biggest market is the US, it would massively disrupt your business, wouldn't it? There's no two ways about that. I'd be cursing. If I was a UK exporter, and then my biggest market was the US, and all this happened, and it was just hurting my bottom line, I'd be much more annoyed at Starmer than Trump, I think. I'd be annoyed at them both. I'd be like, you're screwing with my game here. But I'd be more annoyed at Starmer, to be perfectly honest. I was like, why are you fighting Trump over Greenland? What's Greenland got to do with us, the UK, really? Why are you sticking your oar in on that? Why are you poking the Donald over that? Thanks. Thought you were supposed to look out for our interests. Thanks a lot. Okay. The Guardian. Damn their eyes. The Guardian. Trump links Greenland to threat to... Trump links Greenland threats to Nobel snub. Why they have to write like that, I don't know. So, yeah, this is like an angle that was sort of all over the news a little bit, and yesterday particularly. Well, we mentioned it yesterday, didn't we? That Trump really covets a Nobel Peace Prize. Well, he cares what that committee thinks in Copenhagen is something else, but there you go. And he said on Truth Social, like literally, explicitly just said, or wrote, right, because I'm not getting a Nobel Peace Prize then, because, you know, because the noises out of Copenhagen are saying it's a no-go on that. Well, I don't need to think about peace then, do I? I don't need to. I feel like that is a bit petulant, or almost doesn't even really make sense exactly. Why is Trump being so kind of a bit bitchy about that? About it like that? A bit butthurt about an individual prize he may or may not get, and all of US foreign policy will change on the strength of that. Is that good leadership? As I say, most people watching this know I'm broadly pro-Trump, broadly pro-MAGA, pro-US, broadly. If they do and say things that I don't like and are stupid, I'm going to call it out. That's one of these things, it seems to me. If that's what's going on, if there's not more layers to it, there may well be more layers to it that he's actually using it as a political chip, if you like, casus belli or something. He doesn't really care all that much as it seems. He's just using it as a reason, an excuse. But either way, it does seem a bit small that he personally won't get a Nobel Peace Prize, so he'll change all US foreign policy. Can you imagine him ringing up Rubio or the team of foreign policy advisors? He brings them into the Oval and he's like, right, we're doing something else now because I'm not getting a Peace Prize. You can imagine them being like, really? Really? All right, so ministers look at social media ban for under-16s. Prostate becomes most common cancer in UK. If you're of a certain age, do probably get that checked. The Metro. Harry. The Metro. Gross. It really is gross. I really, really despise it, the Metro. I mean, despise is a bit strong. Doesn't really impact me, especially as I'm not even in London anymore. But it's gross. It is. What do they go with? Oh, a prize idiot. There you go. Just call in the leader of the free world. Just call in Donald Trump, one of the most powerful men, the commander-in-chief of the United States. A prize idiot. Where do they get the balls? A prize idiot. All right. Trump, seeing as Norway snubbed me for a peace award, I want Greenland for US instead. Norway PM, Nobel gongs, Nobel gongs have nothing to do with me. I've told the president repeatedly. As if Trump's personally blaming the Danish Prime Minister. As I understand it, and I know a little bit about it, but not tons, certainly not an expert, but from what little I know, yeah, the Danish Prime Minister doesn't control who and who doesn't win a Nobel Peace Prize. There's like a whole committee of things and people, aren't there? Okay, The Times goes with Labour draws up plans for banning under-16s from social media. I mean, should we talk a wee bit about that real quick? I mean, we've touched on it before on the Bo Show, but we can do it again. Yeah, this idea, it's like the Australians did it first, didn't they? The sort of a social media ban, sort of a quite a broad, far-reaching social media ban for under-16s. And it brings up the question, doesn't it, the debate of whether that's good or the right thing to do. On one side of the ledger is that children under-16s, you know, that includes obviously quite young children, may well be exposed to some terrible material, whether it's like just extreme violence and gore or sexually explicit material, whatever it is, just in the playground. The worry, the concern of that, which I think is a real concern and worry, or that it shouldn't be the job of government to do that. But that's government overreach. It's just censorship. It's just Operation Creep. It's just they mean to censor stuff more and more and more. And this is just, they're just using the angle of people's legit concerns over the sort of the safety of children. The government doesn't really care about that at all. It's just mission creep. It's just, we want to ban more and more things, make the internet more and more exclusive, more and more censored, and that they're cynically using the fear, people's fear over children. And it's just one step in making the internet just, you know, really highly censored, like a North Korean, Chinese-style internet, where it's only what the government ever wants you to see for everyone. I can see both sides of those arguments. In fact, I do tend towards the latter one. That it's government overreach. It's part of a broader, longer, deeper government strategy to censor us all. Yeah. All right. I no longer purely think about peace, says Trump. US fails to rule out taking Greenland by force. Healthy dose of optimism could stop you falling ill. Yeah, that's a well-known thing, isn't it? Like I was going to say the placebo effect. That's not exactly what they're saying there, but, you know, still, the idea that a positive mental attitude goes a long way. Now, an extreme version of that, most people must have seen this or heard about this, be aware of this, even experienced it, that sometimes when older people or when people that are seriously ill, once they sort of give up in their own mind and resign themselves, they're not long for the world, you know? It used to be in the pre-modern days, like the 18th, 19th century, or in the medieval period, they would often say things like, such and such died of a broken heart. They died of ennui. They died of being unhappy. They died of sort of giving up. They sort of gave up on the world and died. You know, in the modern age, we're like, well, no, there must be a proper medical reason for it. Well, there you go. Healthy dose of optimism could stop you falling ill, says modern doctors. Yeah, that positive mental attitude goes a long way. Never give up. That's what I say. That's what I say to all doomers and accelerationists or anyone who's, you know, very unhappy. The first rule in life, your first duty to yourself, is to never give up. Don't even contemplate it. It's not happening. Easier said than done. There you go. All right, moving on. The Financial Times, the FT, Trump maintains, that's very out of focus, and that's not our screens, that's the actual BBC website. A bit unprofessional, the BBC. Trump maintains Greenland seizure a threat as trade strife with Europe rises. So blurry, I can barely read. Denmark, was it, bolsters troops? We will not be blackmailed, says Berlin. Signs of investors selling US assets. So, it's fair enough. The Financial Times goes with a much more sort of financial angle about it all. It's, you know, it's upsetting markets and things. I don't know why. I saw a headline the other day, or yesterday it must have been, in the afternoon or the evening, and it was saying that this might disrupt the food coming in, the import of food to Great Britain, and that supply chain, that whole supply chain. I was thinking, really, does it? How would that make sense? What? We obviously don't get much food from Greenland itself. You're talking about sort of shipping routes, shipping lanes through the north part of the Atlantic there from Canada and or the United States. Is that what you're talking about? Why should the food supply chain in the UK be really affected hardly at all by Trump saying a few bellicose words about Greenland? Everything's interconnected, though. It is complicated. I'm not necessarily saying that was complete nonsense, but there you go. All right, the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. British teenagers face social media ban. Prostate is most common cancer for the first time. Harry's friends to blame for leaks. So quickly to say, because I also don't really care about the Harry story, but it is in the news, so just quickly, briefly to say. Prince Harry has had, for many years in fact, all sorts of legal wranglings with the media, especially print media. In fact, this particular one is an action against the Daily Mail. Well, we all know his Lady Diana had a car crash, didn't she? A fatal car crash, because she was being pursued by paparazzi. If you believe that narrative, there's a few people out there that don't. I think that is true. I'm pretty sure that that is sort of what happened that night in Paris. But there are other accounts, aren't there? There are some other sort of... Anyway. She was pursued unto death by the media. And both William and Harry have had their run-ins with the media, and they feel hounded. Particularly Harry. Feels like hounded by them. And, like, to the point where he'll take legal action against them, that it's made him paranoid, and it's sort of affected him personally and profoundly. That paparazzi wants to take his picture whenever he's outside. All right. And he's just been in wranglings with various papers for years, on and off. And he's at the High Court today, or was it yesterday? Must be yesterday. With just one more of these... law cases with the Daily Mail. So there you go. Prince Harry. Complete douchebag of a man, in my opinion. Complete douchebag. Don't hit back at Trump, PM tells EU. So Starmer trying to smooth the waters, calm the waters there. Reid misled MPs over cancelled votes. Not too much of an important story. The Daily Express, it's a good paper. The Express. We will never be silenced for telling truth. So, the Express go with a completely different story that no one else is going with this morning. We will never be silenced for telling truth. Defiant nurses stand united as NHS faces backlash for ignoring biological sex ruling. So this is a bit of a story, kind of interesting, I think. More interesting than the Beckham one, in my opinion, anyway, is that apparently this is how it went. And if I've got any of these details wrong, I do apologise. That some transgender individual, a male to female transgender individual, a bloke dressing up as a woman, claiming he was a woman, a female nurse, used the actual female nurse's like changing room area to change. And they weren't happy about it. And I believe one of them even called him sir. She misgendered him. Well, the NHS didn't like that. They disciplined these nurses. Disciplined them. They're guilty of wrongthink. For having any sort of issue with a man in their changing room. And one of them called him sir. So they got disciplined by the NHS, because the NHS is, you know, woke. Terribly, terribly woke. And they were sort of appealing it. And good on the Express for taking the angle that they're telling the truth. Seems like that's the angle, isn't it, that the Express is going with, that the nurses are in the right, essentially. I mean, it even goes on to say that they're defiant, and it, you know, it says they were subjected to like a witch hunt and things. Yeah, it's mad. But in someone that simply dresses up as a woman, forcing the rest of the world to treat them as though they are actually a woman, up to and including absurd things happening and playing out in the real world. Yeah, that's mad, yeah. It's mad. I really do think, I hope that in the future, in the years to come, years and decades, centuries to come, mankind, civilization, will look back at the early, very early 21st century and the madness around transgenderism, and they'll look back on it with like a mixture of disbelief and like amusement. Really? They did that? Really? Can't even quite believe they were that stupid and crazy. Some sort of collective madness overtook them. Well, It was mainly because people wanted to be polite, wasn't it, in the first instance? It got this out of hand because in the first instance, people wanted to be polite. When it was like hardly ever happened. Once or twice ever, a transgender person, a man dressed up as a woman, a transvestite, sort of insisting that you call him her and she. Like his real name's Dave, but he's insisted on being called Meredith or something. Just to be polite, people are like, okay. And they just exploited that to absurd lengths. Tried to make it like a power game, a game of power over people. Can we force people to accept a lie? Can we force people to accept absurd things? Well, hopefully now we're in the age where the backlash has certainly begun, if not completely victorious yet. Yeah. It would annoy me so much more if I was a woman as well, because I'm a man, right? It doesn't really matter. The other way round hardly ever happens, right? A woman dressing up as a man, pretending to be burly, walking into a man's lavatory, doesn't really happen. Or even if it did, we're not intimidated. I wouldn't be intimidated. You'd be like, all right, love. Well done, good luck. It'd just be funny, you wouldn't care. But if I was a woman, I really would care. It really would be bad and annoying. And more than annoying, like a little bit worrying. Maybe even a bit scary, you know? I feel sorry for women. I do, you know. J.K. Rowling, for example, is annoying and woke to me in most ways. But some credit there, where she's always stood up for it. She's always been, you know. And people liked her, not the only one. Like Posey Parker, friend of the channel. Someone like that, you know. Well done, actually. I don't agree with all their views, like feminist views, but well done on that for through the darkest days. Saying no, women should have their own spaces. Women's toilets should be just for biological women, or whatever, changing rooms, etc., etc., etc. Yeah. So, women's sporting events should not allow people that were born and went through puberty as a man to enter them. Yeah, well done for sticking to your guns, those women that did so. All right, what else have we got? Okay, that was the end of the front pages. Let's have a quick look at the actual websites. What else have we got? What else is the world talking about today beyond sort of Greenland and social media bans for 16-year-olds? Oh, should we talk about the poll? Should we have an update on the poll real quick? Harry's going to bring it up on my screen just here. What does the poll say? Ooh, whoa, whoa, boom. It's decisive. 95%, a cool 95%, say they don't care about stories like the Beckhams. All right. So I'm vindicated. I was right. A man of the people. I've got my finger on the pulse of the common man. Only 5%, or just only 6% seem to care about the Beckhams and stories like it. That was the idea of that. So that's an overwhelming... It's an overwhelming win for no. It's a no vote. All right. Good. Interesting then. Good. We'll do more polls. Try and do at least one poll a day. Right, Harry? Maybe even a couple. We'll see. Yeah. Okay. Let us know in the chat and the comment. I don't really see the chat. I see super chats, but I don't see the chat. But Harry does. So maybe let him know in the chat if you want more than one poll. If we can try and do two a day, maybe. I don't know. Maybe people find it annoying. They don't want to do that. But so let us know. Okay, back to the news. All right, in depth from the BBC. Confronted over Greenland, Europe is ditching its softly, softly approach to Trump. I bet he's terrified. I bet the chiefs of staff at the Pentagon are quaking with fear, wringing their hands. With fear. No. Bit of sarcasm there. I don't want family to reconcile, says Brooklyn Beckham. Actively doesn't want them to reconcile. Shame. The hospitals where waiting times are getting worse, is yours one of them? Said that before, didn't I? That seems to me that different hospitals, sometimes close to each other, different hospitals just perform very, very differently. You could have two hospitals near you and one is terrible, like an absolute car crash. And the next hospital over is actually really quite good. It's funny how that goes, how that works. Each one is like its own little entity, a little world within a world. Okay, you take UK to consult on social media. Okay, hidden cameras. Already the BBC is down to something not that serious. Hidden cameras reveal what hedgehogs get up to after dark. I mean, there's any number of documentaries about hedgehogs already exist. I actually like hedgehogs. I think they're really cute. Although wild ones are riddled with parasites. Don't touch them. Don't touch a wild hedgehog. Just look at them from afar and go, well, that looks cute. Okay. In Pigeons, Valentino's life and work and the stars who shared his journey. Okay, so there's this this fashion designer, Valentino. And he died. He was in his 90s. He had a good innings. And he died now. Okay. Water companies to face regular MOT style checks in industry shake-up. Good. The water industry in the UK needs a shake-up. Something terribly, terribly wrong with the entire water industry. Getting water just to your tap. Something terribly wrong with it in our reservoirs. I don't know if it's corruption or just complete incompetence or a touch of both or what, but there's something not right. It's being, for whatever reason, it's being mismanaged. Yeah, there could be some sort of much more closer, deeper oversight. Yeah, let's do a shake-up, please. Yes, please, do a shake-up. So let's get that right. In fact, the other day, at the weekend, or was it last week, that I had a water outage in my building where I live in real life. Right, it didn't last for all that long. It only lasted for like a few hours, 2, 3, 4 hours. Just there was no water in the taps. You couldn't use the washing machine. You couldn't flush the toilet. Nothing. And it only lasted a few hours. But in those few hours, it's like having a power cut. You suddenly realise, oh, yeah, wait, I'm completely dependent on this. Like all the time, multiple times a day. I just utterly take it for granted. Utterly, utterly take it for granted. And you immediately start thinking, what am I going to drink? Or how can I make a cup of tea? Or what if I need the toilet? I won't be able to flush it. What if I need a number two? Can't flush it. When am I going to have a shower? Oh my God, I can't have a shower tonight or in the morning if the water doesn't come back. I've got to pop out and buy a massive bottle of water for drinking and for washing up after dinner. Oh, you suddenly realise. So yeah, can we get that right, Britain? Can we get that right? The water industry. All right. Australia Parliament votes on tighter gun. Is it Australia? Yeah, Australia Parliament votes on tighter gun controls after Bondi shooting. Bondi Beach, isn't it? Bondi Beach. Right, so they want tougher shooting laws. If anyone remembers, quite a long time ago, I think I was like a kid or a teenager, there was a terrible mass shooting in Tassie, in Tasmania, wasn't it? Hobart. Some guy walked into a cafe or whatever and just shot a whole bunch of people, and Australia tightened their gun laws quite a lot at that point. And I think gun-related homicides did fall off a cliff a bit, statistically. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one. I think that's what happened. Northern lights illuminate UK skies in hues of pink and green. Yeah, this has been a story. This has been all over North America, all over Northern Europe. The Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, has come down quite far, a bit more southern, quite a lot more southern, actually, than it usually does. Quite often, you need to be all the way up in the Arctic Circle, or certainly close to it. And it's radiation skipping off the atmosphere, isn't it? So it's reliant on solar weather, really, is what it really is. Anyway, at the moment, the so-called Northern Lights is visible from much more southerly areas. So that's nice. I've seen a tiny touch of it once or twice in my life in Britain. Like a touch of it. Like heart, you know, you have to be really looking for it, but you can just about see it. But even at this point, yeah, it's coming down really quite southerly. So that's cool. If you're into that sort of thing, if that's your bag. Okay, Spanish train crash. Spain to hold 3 days of mourning for victims of high-speed train crash. It does look like a really particularly bad one, doesn't it? The worst one in a generation or two in Spain. Surfer injured in fourth shark attack in Australia, in Australian state in 48 hours. I mean, I like to have a paddle in the sea, but maybe I wouldn't go swimming or surfing out in waters that were known to be shark infested. I mean, to some Australians, that's just, I'm just being a whinging pom. Why am I being so conservative? Why am I being so lame? But I wouldn't. If it's like, well, there's been shark attacks in that stretch of water on that, off that beach in living memory. If there's ever been a shark attack in living memory in those waters, I'm not going to go surfing there. But what can you do? People love to surf, don't they? Greenland will stay Greenland, former Trump advisor declares. Yeah, I've never heard Trump say it's actually going to change the name of it. Steve Rosenberg, the BBC's political editor, correspondent, person, says Russia gloats over Greenland tensions. I imagine Putin couldn't really help himself. What are you going to do? Are you going to wring your hands over Putin gloating? Get real. Okay, the ITV, Brooklyn, okay, we'll move on from that. Government's whole concept of the under-16s ban. Greenland tariffs, completely wrong, okay. Why are some soldiers believe their own weapons damaged blood vessels in their brain? The invisible wounds. Evidence of a link is beginning to emerge between exposure to shockwaves and blood vessel condition. Yeah, I mean, brain trauma, it doesn't take much to give you sort of mild brain trauma. I've seen and heard Joe Rogan talking about it, that, you know, getting blows to the head in MMA or boxing or any, or taekwondo or boxing or anything, obviously so. But I remember distinctly quite a long Joe Rogan segment once, ages ago, saying that even just mild knocks, and I'm not talking about rugby or American football, we're talking about, like, you jet ski a lot and it's just bouncy. Just that. Enough of it. You'll eventually get brain damage. Or can do. So yeah, if you're a soldier and you're like firing weapons, all sorts of, or you're close to like big concussions, like you're part of a mortar team or something, I don't know, or you're part of an artillery battery and you're just close to explosions all the time one way or another, none of which on their own seem to do any actual damage, but over like years okay. Seems like it doesn't take much to sort of rattle your brain around inside your own skull. And if you do it enough, it can be bad. Prince Harry and Elton John tell court of paranoia caused by Daily Mail. Oh. And Elton John. I mean, it's not like I'm utterly unsympathetic to Harry's cause. I'm unsympathetic to Harry. It's not like I'm unsympathetic to... It's not like the paparazzi aren't complete dicks. I'm not trying to claim that. They are, quite often. So... Also, though, that is the price you pay for being famous, being extremely rich and famous. I have a little bit of sympathy for people who it wasn't their choice to become rich and famous. Like Harry. He was born to, he had no choice. But when you get stars, someone like Elton John, or someone like, I don't know, Robbie Williams or something, really moan and complain about it. It's like, no one forced you to spend your whole life trying to become rich and famous. So don't moan about it now. You knew what the deal would be. You worked really hard to be like an A-lister or whatever it is. If Robbie Williams an A-lister, not really anymore. But, you know, famous people that worked tirelessly to be rich and famous, and now, oh, the paparazzi is so bad. You knew the deal. You knew the deal. And you can do a De Niro, right? There's some celebrities who very, very actively don't court the paparazzi. They don't go out very much to the type of places, like famous restaurants and haunts of the rich and famous and movie premieres. They don't do that very much. They actively don't seek attention from the paparazzi. Even A-listers, like someone like Robert De Niro, for example. So you can do that. right? Unless you're the real flavour of the month. Sometimes the paparazzi do become obsessed with one individual, don't they, briefly? And even if they try to sort of seclude themselves, it's still the paparazzi still hound them. But that would eventually pass. Well, anyway. Be flattered, it wouldn't last forever. We will uncover the truth, says Spain's PM after train collision. Trump links Greenland to threat of not getting Nobel Peace Prize. Tariff retaliation would be very unwise, US Treasury chief warns Europe. Right, so the US says, we're going to slap tariffs on you. Europe says, we're going to slap tariffs on you. And the US Treasury says, you better not. That would be unwise. It's all a bit tit for tat, isn't it? The Italian fashion designer dies at 93. Former police chief referred to watchdog over Maccabee fan ban. Yeah, that same guy is still sort of rumbling on, that story. Something about Rosendale. Romford MP Andrew Rosendale becomes second. Oh, just... Okay, just the story that he defected still. Okay. Channel 4. Screw Channel 4. I might even take Channel 4 off. Harry, do another poll. Shall we take Channel 4 news off our little rundown, our little list? It's really bad. But then people might want to know still, or occasionally Channel 4 will, occasionally, they will have a story that's interesting that no one else is really running with. Very occasionally. Or just to know what, you know your enemy. Know what the arch leftists are thinking. It might be, people might want to see it for that, even briefly. Do a poll. Okay. Sky News, breaking, live. Trump, we must have it, says Trump about Greenland. We must have it. Beth Rigby, a shill, Beth Rigby, and says, NATO faces crisis. I've never seen PM look so grave. Shut up, Beth. Who told you you was a great journalist? Who told you you could work with men? Beth Rigby. Shut up. Family torn apart by... Too much? Family torn apart by a huge waste dump with rats everywhere. Well, it would do that, wouldn't it? Yeah. Mum says home is a prison after 25,000 tonnes of waste dumped next door. Yeah, it kind of... Kind of ruin the ambience of your back garden, wouldn't it? That's not funny, actually. It's probably has probably pretty badly ruined their life, their home. Feel a bit sorry for them. Still, individual stories like this. It's not really, again, like the Beckham thing. It's not a... What's this? £300 concert tickets and a singer who did jail time. Okay. What's this? Sky News, is it? Yeah, Sky News. Get some better journalism. Find some better stories. Sky News. Sky News isn't much better than the BBC or even Channel 4, really. They're pretty damn woke. Pretty globalist slop, by and large. Aren't they? Sky News. Sky News Australia is well good. Let's skip straight to that. Sky News. How good. Oh, yeah. Right, Lay, a senior opposition politician in Australia. Lay claims credit for Labour's hate crime laws. Well done, love. As Nationals MPs push back, opposition leader Susan Lay has claimed the Liberal Party, quote, stepped up to fix, quote, the Albanese government's hate crime laws despite opposition from the National Party. What a thing to be proud of. Look at this, look at the state of it. Jesus Christ almighty. Sorry, people don't like it when we blaspheme, when we take the Lord's name in vain. But Jesus H. Christ on a bike almighty, come on. Look at it. Bob Cater calls for ban on Middle East and North Africa migration in fiery outburst. He's like the based one, isn't he? He's the Aussie-based dude. He's our boy. Isn't he? Ozzy is in the chat. You tell me. I think he's the base one. Bob Cater has called for a ban on migration from the Middle East and North Africa, later acknowledging his own grandfather migrated from the region. There you go. His heritage isn't pure. I'm joking. NSW, oh, New South Wales Police extends protest ban across parts of Sydney. Classic Australian sort of lefty government. Just extend bans, extend censorship at all times, always. I feel sorry for Australia. I really do. Because their government's in various ways, like during the lockdown, for example, but in all sorts of various ways, they're like more woke than New Zealand. They're like, they're further down the line, further down the slippery slope of sort of wokeness and sort of anti-patriotism, anti-nationalism, you know, like, I feel sorry for them. Again, when I was a kid, when I was growing up, the Aussies always had a reputation, always really had a reputation for being much more patriotic than we were, if anything. Much more sort of based and down to earth and reasonable and all that sort of stuff. Pendulum swung for them pretty badly. I mean, it's not much better here, but quite a lot of the news out of Australia is that, yeah, it's that. Anyway, I jumped ahead to Australia because of Sky. Let's go back. What's the Mail got? What's the Mail telling us? Okay, they're going with the Beckham thing. The Beckham Dressgate riddle. Really? Really? This is the level of journalism. Dressgate. And the riddle of it. Really? The riddle of it. I think I mentioned earlier, didn't I, at the top of the hour, that there was one of the points of contention between in the Beckham family is about Brooklyn's wife's wedding dress. That Victoria was going to... Oh, God, I don't care. I'm boring myself. The Dressgate riddle. It's not even laughable, is it, really? As a story, as a headline. And that's top. That's top of the Daily Mail online website. That's the top story. Come on. Do better. Be better. Be better. Donald Trump condemns Starmer's great stupidity for giving away Chagos Islands in act of total weakness. Yeah, okay. There's a bit more meat to this one. This is an actual story, isn't it? So Trump, I think on Truth Social, called Starmer and his government stupid, like properly just completely stupid. Because the Chagos Islands, if anyone doesn't know, I think there's a segment on the main podcast of the Lotus Eaters towards the end of last week. It might have been Mr. H of Mr. H Reviews fame, Nate. I think he did a segment on it. Anyway, it's not just the UK. There's also, it was a joint UK-US military base on those islands. On one of those islands. It's an archipelago of islands. But... And so where we sort of gave it away to Mauritius, the very, very important, powerful state of Mauritius, it directly affects the US. And so Trump said, he said, here's the quote, "The US giving away extremely important land is an act of great stupidity," in all caps, great stupidity. "And is another in a very long line of national security reasons why Greenland has to be acquired. Denmark and its European allies have to do the right thing." Yeah, so to call it an act of great stupidity. Because there's something a bit bigger going on. It's not just like there's just one base among many that the US will be losing. In fact, they won't even... I don't think that base will be lost in any way. We'll still be leasing the land back from the government of Mauritius. But we have to pay them like £100 million a year or something. Something like that. So we'll still have the base, like a lease of 99 years. So the UK military and US military will still be able to use the base basically. But we won't sort of formally own the territory or anything. But the bigger point is when you look at a whole map of like the South China Seas and the Indian Ocean and the Pacific region, when you look at it in as broadly as that, you zoom out that far, you do see that it's part of a sort of a bigger strategic picture. It's all to do with sort of Chinese influence, broader Chinese influence. Like, it's kind of important where you can have an air base exactly important on the surface of the earth. If you take that away, suddenly China, it looks like suddenly China starts to dominate a massive region, a massive swathe of the earth, suddenly sort of falls much more under Chinese sway and influence. Now, these are concerns really much for the State Department than the Foreign Office, right? Britain has got nowhere near the ability to project its power abroad as much as the US. But you can just see why the planners in the State Department and the Pentagon would look at what Starmer's done with the Chagos Islands and be like, really? Really? That, like, screws with quite a lot of things. You might think it's just like a tiny little base in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the ocean. It's the Chagos Islands. No biggie. It is a biggie. It sort of is. Sort of realigns all sorts of things, or could potentially anyway. Well, Trump calls it an act of great stupidity, and I don't think he's wrong, really. It is weird. It's sort of weird. Why would you do that? Because even a lot of the indigenous native peoples from the Chagos Islands, even they were saying, don't do this. Why are you doing this? Who's pulling your strings? We don't want this. We weren't asking for this, particularly. The UN were. Because the UN and various other powers, influences in the world, are just anti-imperialism. It's all just imperialism. You know, it's all just colonisation. It's colonialism. All colonialism must be stamped out at every stage. Oh, it's nearly 5:02. That went quickly. Should we have a quick look at on this day in history? Just 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes. Okay, on this day, on the 20th of January, let's see what happened. In the year 1265, the first English Parliament is summoned without royal command. In this instance, by Simon de Montfort, Earl of Leicester. It meets in Westminster Hall. Yeah, interesting. I've got all sorts of content all about Magna Carta and the age of King John, Prince King John, and Simon de Montfort. I've got all sorts of content behind the paywall on my show, the Epochs of the Lotus Eaters, all about that. The Baron's Revolt. Yeah, so. On Epochs. Check that out. Okay, in 1841, China cedes Hong Kong Island to Britain during the First Opium War. I mean, largely, I would defend the British Empire. Largely. I think it sort of exported civilization in various forms. Literacy. The light of reason. Railways, newspapers. A working political system, all sorts of stuff. However, sometimes we did do things that were completely unjust and out of order. And even in those days was, like, egregious. The First and Second Opium Wars, probably, to be fair, if you're just honest with yourself, are among those. So forcing the Chinese to sell us their stuff, and we pay for it in opium, and it causes, like, a pandemic of opium addiction in their society. That is a bit of a stain. Anyway, let's move on. In 1921, the Republic of Turkey is declared from the remnants of the Ottoman Empire. Yeah, fascinating. I'm fascinated by the story of Lawrence of Arabia, the war in the East, World War One in the East, and the collapse of the Ottoman Empire. The rise of Mustafa Kemal, the Ataturk, all that sort of stuff. Fascinating. So big day for Turkey. I wonder if today is actually like a national holiday in Turkey. I don't know if it is or not. May well be. Something about the Wannsee Conference, where the Nazis got together and sort of put the finishing touches on the final solution. Nazi officials hold the notorious Wannsee Conference in Berlin to coordinate the final solution, the extermination of Europe's Jews. In 1945, Franklin D. Roosevelt is sworn in for an unprecedented and never-to-be-repeated fourth term as US president. Yeah, a bit irresponsible of FDR, really, I think. I mean, we're in the World War II still going on, right? Hitler isn't even dead yet in January 1945. But Roosevelt knew he was dying. I mean, he's dead by April. Early, mid-April, Franklin Roosevelt dies of natural causes. And yet you ran for president in, like, 1944 and won in 1945 and was sworn in 1945. You knew you were dying. You knew you almost certainly would not be able to finish that term. Bit irresponsible. In 2009, Barack Obama is inaugurated as the 44th president on this day. Okay, fair enough. All right, let's move on. Let's get the let's get a few Rumble Rants and Super Chats. It's very nearly the top of the hour. Pardon me. All right, we've got Rumble Rant. What is this? Rick TWGP says, enough about Gay Beckham and his plastic wife now, please, mate. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. Fair enough. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Okay. The YouTube Super Chats. We don't care about the Beckhams, all in caps, exclamation mark, says the Fenlander 1665. Okay. Right, you are, loud and clear. Got it. Zajutes 149, a regular contributor there. Thank you, sir. Or woman, don't know, it might be a woman. Thank you either way. For the Tea Lady Fund, so Bo always has hot tea. Oh, cheers. It would be nice if someone could bring me a fresh tea at about 22. That would be nice. I got no username, says, anything at all is better than celebrity gossip. Yeah, that's my feeling. Okay, okay. Definitely loud and clear. Minimal celebrity gossip. Only if it's in the actual headlines and then I'll, going forward, and then I'll pass over it. I mean, I've got to mention it, but that's basically all I'll do is just mention it. And no more. Yeah, okay, great. Good. Good. We're all on the same page. I like it. Jensen E8 says, breakfast beer's o'clock. Get in there, Bo, my lad. Breakfast beer. Ooh. I couldn't drink a beer for breakfast, I don't think. I mean, I could, but it'd just be like, ugh, be like ashes in my mouth. It'd be gross. Yeah, I've never been able to drink early. You know, that's a thing sometimes. If you're on holiday or something, you start drinking really early. I've always thought that's gross. All right, what have we got? I got no username. Also says, when the first four expletives is Callum coming back? When the hell is Callum coming back? Also, morning. Morning. I don't think Callum is coming back. I don't want to speak for him. He's on Twitter. Ask him on Twitter, maybe. Reasonably confident he's never coming back. He might do. He might do one day come back, but as far as I understand. All right, so that is the show. We're at the top of the hour. It's just ticked 1 minute past 9 in the AM on Tuesday the 20th of January in the year of our Lord 2026. You have been watching The Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo, the BBC, Bo's Breakfast Club. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for tuning in. Remember that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Try and make it count. You'll never have this time again. This day will only happen once in history. So try and make the most of it if you can. I know it's not easy. It actually isn't. Some days you've got to do really, really boring stuff. But if you can, carpe diem. If you can, try and seize the day. All right, until tomorrow, take care.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.